Welcome to the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast, the business hub for standard-setting institutions unlocking the future of liquid trade finance. I'm Doris Kononovich, and lovely to have you here again. We've got a really special guest, and not only because he's one of the founding members of the TFD initiative, but he's also coming brimming with answers about, you know, if you've been listening to the trade finance news, the new Trada token. So there'll be a few exclusive today, so I'd keep my ears peeled. Join me in welcoming the co-founder and CFO of TradeTech. I'm talking about Niels Bailey. Niels, lovely to have you here.
Hi, excellent to be here. Good to see you.
It's a little bit like bring your mom to work day, because we work so closely together. And, you know, finally, it's lovely to have you on the TFD Initiative podcast, where at least we can kind of talk about some of the things that TradeTech does and, you know, the initiatives that are happening. So the first thing we're going to dive into is about TradeTech. Can you give us a little bit about TradeTech's unique position within the trade finance distribution world?
Yes, thank you very much, Doris. Excellent to be here. Really a pleasure. And let's talk about TradeTech and what we do for the trade distribution world. So TradeTech is a technology platform that provides originators in trade finance, such as banks and non-bank originators, and investors in trade finance, institutional investors, first and foremost, the ability to connect, to interact, and to transact, to do the deal.
Amazing. And why trade finance? What was the thought around going into this avenue?
So trade finance is really a very unique animal, if you will, in the fixed income world. Traditionally, trade finance is a product that has been exclusively the domain of banks and some non-bank financiers, such as factoring companies. And although trade finance has been around pretty much ever since trade existed and has been affecting and keeps affecting anything you see, anything you touch really in the room when you look around you, from your coffee mug to the sofa you may sit on while you listen to this, everything will in some form have come into contact with trade finance. It's not an asset class that is widely understood by the general market, and it's also certainly not widely distributed. And a lot of that has to do with the sometimes a bit arcane nature of trade finance. Some of the terminology and the practices go back to the time of the Venetian merchants even, and they can be very specific and are not easily understood to outsiders. So trade finance until today has been, I would say, a bit of a mystery, but then certainly a niche play and the domain of very specialized investors and not really open to the wider investor field. And that's exactly where TradeTech comes in, because we allow non-experienced investors, if you will, other alternative investors to access this asset class and to invest into it.
And why would you say that this asset class is attractive to your investors specifically?
A lot of investors have traditionally invested in private debt, and private debt in all forms, from mortgages to credit cards, student loans, any form of private debt has really become very, very popular with investors. And it's really part of the portfolio mix that any professional institutional investor would look at. However, that comes at a price, meaning that we have seen huge compression of margins in that space. The more people are chasing opportunities, the slimmer the pickings get. And that's where trade finance can really add an alternative diversification to a portfolio on the shorter end of the curve. These are self-liquidating, revolving, short-term exposures that are typically secured, sometimes even credit insured. So it's really, really attractive. And it can add a good yield pickup also versus publicly traded and publicly available instruments. You can get a premium over those. So trade finance has a lot of very attractive features. But again, it has not been widely accepted. It's not widely accepted yet, widely traded. And that's going to change. And that's exactly what we're changing. That's what TFD Initiative is changing, making trade finance part of mainstream portfolios.
And how about now? Because we've seen that there's a lot of concern around the economy with inflation. How do you see trade finance being currently affected by these changes?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Of course, inflation is on anyone's mind. And what we can observe in trade finance is that not only are the yields generally attractive on a risk-adjusted basis, but because of the short duration, these instruments are also less sensitive to inflation. So even in a sustained inflation environment, these should be very attractive investments. And then, of course, you have other features that trade finance generally is decoupled from other investments, stocks and bonds. There's very little correlation, so it's really a good and interesting play. And to give an example of those latter features, when you think about an airline that has issued debt bonds typically, and also funds itself through trade finance. Well, if that airline hits trouble, and we have seen that many times, what happens is that the publicly traded instruments, that the bonds, that the debts, the loan out there, those get restructured. Creditors have to deal with the fact that they get put at the end of the line when it comes to payments. However, the trade finance instruments that the airline is using, for example, to buy jet fuel or to pay for the in-flight meals, those will be serviced, because unless you want to start operating and unless you do not want to continue as a going concern, you will service those instruments. So again, trade finance, very attractive features.
Now, let's talk about a bit of the technology of the TradeTech platform now. What's the process of distributing trade finance to you?
Yes, we allow investors really to distribute, to invest in trade finance, and allow banks, other originators to distribute trade finance through a number of different products. We have the ability to connect banks to other banks and insurance companies through our TradeTech Connect product that effectively allows the distribution of what some banks call core trade FI risk from bank to bank or bank to insurance companies. And we work with very large players in that space who use this product. And then we have our TradeTech Access and TradeTech Distribute products, which are targeted at investors and originators, respectively, who want to access trade finance not through direct distribution, like through the TradeTech Connect product, but typically in a repackaged format. And that's something that we offer as well, where we take trade finance instruments, any trade finance instrument, typically receivables, payables, invoices, let's call them, and transform these into tradable instruments by repackaging them into a note.
And we've been doing this now for a few years now, and recently we've got a bit of news coming out from the TradeTech stables about the TradeTech marketplace. Can you tell us a bit about that? What is the marketplace exactly?
Yeah, the TradeTech Marketplace is a recent development and recent product that we launched. It's effectively as the name indicates, a marketplace for originators and investors in trade finance to connect. And this really builds this first step. I mentioned connect, interact, transact. This really builds initially the first step. So as an originator, you can come to the marketplace, you can create a profile You can showcase transactions. And as an investor, you can likewise join effectively on the other side, if you will. You can see offers that originators have put up. And if there's something interesting, then you can execute, you can build your own private network. So if you are an originator and you do not want to share opportunities with everyone, you can just share it with certain bespoke counterparties. So it's very flexible. And then we can move to all the next steps, the interact and the transact that we also offer. So it's really end to end. The marketplace allows these parties to showcase transactions and ultimately also do the investment.
And you earlier mentioned repackaging as well as one of the services that you offer. Can you elaborate a bit on this as well?
Yeah, the repackaging really is a transformation of trade finance instruments into tradable financial instruments. And as I mentioned before, trade finance still is quite arcane. It's also non-homogeneous in nature. Not even the terminology that is being used to describe some of the products, even within the same institution, are homogeneous. So this is really a challenge then for investors to access this asset class and to buy individual instruments, not only because of the terminology, of course, but because of the general complexity. We touched on the short-term self-liquidating revolving basis. So you have to deal with a lot of data. You have to deal with a lot of information. All this needs to be processed. You want to select the right assets that fit with your investment criteria. So it gets very, very complex very quickly. And what we do is we take these bundles of invoices, we put them into portfolios, we bundle them, and we can then transform them in a note through a Luxembourg repackaging vehicle. And that note gives an investor very easy, very simplified access to an underlying pool of invoices. The notes can settle in the custody account of the investor. They have an ISIN. And they can treat it like any other fixed income instrument. And what it means for the investor is it takes the complexity out of the investment process. And for the originator, of course, this also holds true because they find simplified access to capital markets to refinance these instruments in a very convenient, very efficient way.
If you're just joining us, this is the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast. I've got here with me the co-founder and CFO at TradeTech, Niels Bayling. Now, Niels, let's talk a little bit about what everyone's been talking about, and that's the TRADA token. I believe everyone might have been able to kind of see what it is, but from your perspective, what is the TRADA token?
Yeah, so the TRADA token really takes the repackaging of trade finance assets, I want to say almost to the next level, and opens up the market for a much wider participation. And I think it's good to understand a bit where we're coming on this. In September last year, together with our partners at the XTC network, we launched a first trial transaction, a proof of concept, if you will, of a NFT, a non-fungible token, where we took one of our existing trade finance notes that had been issued out of Luxembourg and repackaged that into a token that settled through the blockchain and was purchased by an institutional investor. And that was more a proof of concept to test the technology, to establish the rails for this kind of transaction. We have now moved on to issuing TRADA tokens natively out of a Liechtenstein vehicle. It's called XTC Tech AG. And this allows us to open up the trade finance market in terms of the investors to a much wider base. TRADA tokens are issued based on a prospectus that has been approved by the FMA, the Liechtenstein Financial Markets Authority, the local regulator, and subject to certain KYC, AML requirements and limitations in terms of the offering, they can generally be purchased by retail investors all throughout Europe.
Now, we can say this is sort of a new innovation within the trade distribution space. So it begs the question, like, how are security tokens different from the traditional bonds and notes that everyone's used to at the moment?
It really is several features I think that are worthwhile touching on. One is, of course, the investor base. Already mentioned that. This is an offering that is open to retail investors. It's based on a prospectus in accordance with the prospectus regime. And that's, I would say, the financial side. What that means is opening up trade finance and opening up the originator's access to capital markets and to investments to a much broader basis. We now are able to attract a very widely diversified investor basis into trade finance that was not possible before. From the investor perspective, it's still very attractive because you get access to an asset class that has all the features that we already touched upon. It's typically low risk, typically low yield, yes, but low risk. It's typically credit insured even. It's certainly secured, self-liquidating, revolving. So all these positive features are now available to retail investors. And that's certainly something that's novel. On the other hand, we're using a distributed ledger. We're using blockchain technology to settle these notes. And that also has certain benefits. When you think about the traditional settlement system through a CSD, it means that there's still a lot of manual processes involved. And although vis-a-vis a paper-based settlement where everything started way back when, the CSD is already an improvement. There's still a lot that can go wrong. You mentioned friction cost. You mentioned manual processes. There's a huge expense still that needs to happen. Plus, of course, you have one centralized party who holds all the strings, who holds all the records. And then you have any number of other parties that need to work in unison, but always working towards that centralized party to make sure that the transaction doesn't fail. And it still happens even on Euroclear, Clearstream. Transactions don't go through. Things get entered wrongly into settlement systems. Information is not there. Any number of things can go wrong. If you now think about a distributed ledger that is effectively a single source of truth, albeit distributed and synchronized amongst several participants in the network, the nodes in the network, as they're called, you can see automatically that you're not reliant just on one party doing everything, but everyone who is part of the network has a view of this ledger. And because you can utilize automated execution, you can utilize smart contracts effectively, the risk for things going wrong is lower. Of course, there's things that can go wrong there as well, but we're reducing friction costs, we're reducing manual processes, we're reducing the potential for errors, and also increasing settlement times. I think that's another point that's worth mentioning. Traditional bonds typically settle T+2, so from the trade date, you have 2 days until everything is settled. Can be longer, can be shorter, but let's say T+2 is the usual. On a distributed ledger, settlement can be instantaneous. And then last but not leastly, you can also do fractionalized participation. So the ability for a much wider group of investors to potentially participate in the issue is also there. So there's a lot of benefits, and that's not to say that the traditional bonds notes will go away, and we see this business growing on the trade tech side. But offering the ability to trade through tokens in addition to notes is certainly an added benefit, and we see this as an additional arrow that we can use.
Now, we'll talk a little bit more about the adoption of tokenized trade finance in a moment, but we know that you're on the XDC network for the Trada token. What was the criteria, and why did you settle on the XDC?
Yeah, XDC network really offers many benefits when it comes to trade finance. They're the preeminent trade finance focused blockchain network. We have a long-term working relationship with them now. We work very well together. We know the founding team and all the technical team there extremely well. So it's really nice to work with a group of like-minded people and to move this project forward.
Amazing. And on Twitter, because that's where the crypto world and everyone who's interested in this live, there's been a lot of questions on there about people who are trying to buy the token. Who is it for? Who can buy it? I mean, it's all there in the perspective, but obviously it's great to have you hear from you as well, who this token is targeted at.
Yes, I think that's it's very important to say that while this token is targeted towards retail, it doesn't mean that anyone and everyone can just participate. So the token is being issued, trader token is being issued based on a prospectus that has been approved. And there are certain offering jurisdictions that are listed in the prospectus, and we're adding additional jurisdictions to those on an ongoing basis where trader can be issued. So if you're from one of those jurisdictions, you are effectively a target of this prospectus, and you can go and buy the token. The other aspect here is that despite this being a token, and that I think is important to mention because there sometimes is a bit of a misconception out there when it comes to crypto, despite this being a token, everyone who invests in this token will have to be fully KYC'd, will have to be fully AML checked, and has to come from an eligible jurisdiction in order to buy the token. So contrary to what some people might think, that you can just go on anonymously with your blockchain wallet and buy any number of trader tokens, that's not the case. We only sell to fully whitelisted approved investors, and that's really important because ultimately, although we're settling trader through the blockchain, we're delivering it through this distributed ledger, the XDC network, it is a security. And that is important for the originators who know where their funds come from, but it's also important for the investors because they get all the protection that a traditional security offers them.
Can I ask you if you're opening up to more regions anytime soon?
Yes, we're expanding the prospectus, and if you go to the website, that's xdctech.io, xdctech.io with the Q in the tech, then you can go to the document section, and there you find the prospectus for this offering. You'll find key investor documents that are a legal requirement to be published. You find prospectus summaries, and if you look at the letter two, you'll see that we add translations of the summaries and the key investor documents for more and more regions. So we're expanding this, but because it's a security, the prospectus and the offering needs to be approved, needs to be filed, notified to additional regulators and additional jurisdictions. So there's a process, but as we get these notifications done, we're adding these regions. And that means the offering is open to more and more investors.
That's incredible. And what's the response been so far?
Well, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. We see a lot of feedback from investors. The uptake has been very, very positive. I think the market sees the value in this, especially against the backdrop of recent events in crypto that had a hugely value-destroying effect and also put a big question mark behind some of the approaches that are taken. Without naming any names, I think that everyone knows and has heard in some form of the recent cases of large players failing. And if I can summarize that, I think a lot of it is down to a lack of substance and to these providers over-promising and really under-delivering, but also taking very risky bets, over-leveraging themselves. Many of those crypto players, although they said that they are operating in a completely decentralized way, operated very much like traditional banks, and what you saw were, in effect, bank runs. They were basically doing a classic maturity transformation as a bank would do, and they had the issue that when there was a run on the bank, they couldn't serve their clients. So this is where Trader is different. This is effectively building an on-ramp for the real economy to the crypto world. Trader tokens are collateralized. The assets that we are putting in there will be credit insured. So it is really putting substance over form, if you will. This is not backed by promises, but it's backed by assets. And we're basically taking the note concept that we at TradeTech see very successfully executed and moving it to the crypto space. But from an investor perspective, you're not buying into the promise of exorbitant returns with no transparency and no visibility on what's going on in the engine room. But here we're really using these funds to invest in the real economy, to fund businesses around the globe. And that's what makes Trader different.
That's incredible. And we're hoping to see a lot of people tapping into this, because this is absolutely a new innovation. Now, tell me, as a final question, why you think there will be an adoption of tokenized trade finance in the future? Now, you've spoken to us about the merits of using security tokens, but why do you think that this could possibly be the way forward within the trade finance distribution space?
Well, I think it will certainly become one established route to access the market. The way to access funding for originators is expanded by way of distributing through tokens. You can now reach retail investors much more easily. You can have fractionalized ownership in these tokens. You have the ability to move money much faster than through traditional channels. And from the investor side, it gives you access to an asset class that was not available previously to private investors. And trade finance is more and more becoming part of the portfolio mix for institutional investors. It's certainly not there yet with these private investors, and products like Trader do change that.
Amazing. Everyone hop on board, I guess. It's going to be good over here. Right. I'm afraid this is where we wrap it up on our episode today. Niels, thank you so much for making time out of your busy schedule to speak with us today.
Thank you very much, Doris. Really tremendously enjoyed this.
All right. If you enjoyed this episode as well, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel on Spotify. That's the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast. And to our YouTube page, where you can watch our lovely faces, and as well, this will be also in a video format. That's all for today. I'm Doris Kananovich. Have a lovely day.